Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers. It's Devin and...
Hi, it's Heidi.
We are excited to bring you another episode of Stranger Than Fiction. Jeez. Heidi, what is Stranger Than Fiction?
It is our podcast where we essentially take a monster that's in a movie or a TV show that we like, and we watch that episode or movie and talk about it and describe what happens in there, and then see if we believe if this could be something in real life. Is there any history behind it? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, we break down, you know, what is the real true story. So for this week, we actually watched Supernatural Season 1, Episode 2, called Wendigo.
Or Wendigo.
I was just going to say.
Or Wendigo.
Be prepared that I may say
all three.
Wendigo. What our journey into it, I think we found like a couple of different pronunciations.
Yeah.
I think I more casually say Wendigo.
Oh, see, I say Wendigo.
So you may get that just as a heads up. But we're going to be talking about, I'm going to try and be consistent with Wendigo.
Okay.
Like indigo.
Yeah.
So interesting creature that we will dive deep into. Before we get there, I want to keep going on the saga of that book on cryptozoology.
Okay.
So if you haven't been listening, I've been trying to find this book where I first started reading about cryptozoology back in like sixth grade. I found a book called Monsters, Giants, and Little Men from Mars, written by Daniel Cohen. I thought it might be it. It's not. But I realized that Daniel Cohen had written other similar books, so I started researching, and I found one called The Encyclopedia of Monsters.
Encyclopedia.
And it had the kind of that cream color.
Okay.
Cream-colored cover. Yeah, it's not that easy. And so then I found a like PDF version on archives.org.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I can look through the table of contents before I like buy this book and realize it's not even the right one. So I like go through and it gives you like a little like free preview.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way to the first page of the table of contents. And then it's like, you would have to sign up to borrow it. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well now I'm invested. Like, is this the book or not? So I sign up. It lets you borrow it for an hour. And I look through, and lo and behold, it is the book.
What?
And it has a section on the Mothman.
Are you going to buy it?
I'm going to have to. I feel like that will complete this saga. But I was really excited that I was like, this is the book.
I'm happy for
this
you.
This is what I read. I highly recommend, especially, you know, if you have some younger ones that are interested in getting into maybe monsters or spooky things. It goes through a lot of different things from like dragons to giants to more real world like Nessie, things like that. So I feel like now we can finally put a pin in that.
You named my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
Why, Twilight, why?
You nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
But we're not talking about Mothman. We are talking about Wendigos. So, as we mentioned, we watched a episode of Supernatural, the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for
Heidi's Dissection.
Okay. In the episode, it starts off with a camping trip in tents, because that's the only way you can go camping, according to Devin. You can't go glamping like I do.
Nope.
So it's these three dudes in a tent, just being dudes camping.
It's not weird. They're just playing video games. One's got a satellite phone.
Two bros chilling in the hot tub, 5 feet apart, because they're not gay.
And the one who has a satellite phone checks in with his sister, and he's like, hey, sis, it's day 6. Not doing much, just being a dude.
Just camping
and
in the middle
of the
woods.
And he's got this, like, 90s bro shell necklace that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Love that. Anyway, so he checks in, and this one of the three is like, oh, man, I got a whiz, because they're boys, and they can just whip that out wherever.
Nature calls.
He gets out of the tent, and instead of, like, going a decent amount away, he literally just pees right outside the tent on a tree, which I learned is not good for the tree.
No, animals will actually, they'll eat the salt, and so if it's on a tree, they'll eat that bark, and that can hurt a tree. So if you are a male and you are out camping...
Don't pee on trees.
Don't pee on a tree. Pee on a rock. There you go. Camping lesson number one of many.
So
let's keep going.
After he is done peeing, he hears a noise. I don't know if it was like a scream or like a roar or just something, but he hears a noise and he's like, dude, what was that? And I think he gets whisked away right then and there.
I mean, the whole stinger is all of them are presumably dead or missing from some unknown creature.
Okay, so the first guy got torn away, and the other two guys are in the tent, and the one guy he was playing on his video game goes out to check on his friend because he heard him screaming, and he gets torn away. And so the guy is left over in the tent, and he like zips it up, and he's like, ah. And I think he's filming this happening. And yeah, remember, because there's like, they show it in the frame later.
But that's when he was doing hello message to his sister.
So he's definitely freaking out. He's scared. He's trying to control his breathing. Something's like circling the tent. And then you just hear, rawr, and it like rips the tent and pulls the guy. And yeah. So then Q, Sam, and Dean, who have their dad's journal, of course, and they're trying to locate him. And they see something scratched off for this woods area. And so,
yeah, it's coordinates. And I had this in behind the screams, but I'm just going to tell you right now. Apparently the coordinates are for Arizona. They're not even in Colorado. But in the show, the coordinates send them to Colorado somehow.
Cool. So they're in Colorado, and they go to this national park, and they check in at like the welcome area, and they overhear a story of these rangers looking for these missing people.
Well, no, they BS, and they're like, oh, we're environmental like studies kids, and the ranger's like,
oh yeah, you're right. They're like, yeah, no, you're not. You must be friends with that Hannah girl. Her name's Hannah, right?
I don't remember her name. Her name
it's
is
Hannah now.
Expendable female.
Yeah. Ouch. So he's like, yeah, we are friends with her. It's tragic what happened. And the officer's like, yeah, her brother's gone missing, was camping like 6 days ago. Just basically gives away the whole scenario.
But it's just like, they were expecting to be gone this long, so it's not exactly a missing person.
Exactly. So like, I'm sure they're fine. They're just camping in the woods still being bros. And so Sam and Dean were like, yeah, well, can you tell us where we can find Hannah? Or something like that.
They want like the permit, some sort of paperwork that like leads them on the clue. And he's like, we can take that to Hannah. But I don't think they ever say like, maybe I guess the permit would have had their address. So they went to the address that way.
Maybe.
Regardless.
So they show up at Hannah's house. I really hope that's her name.
I really hope it's not.
So they show up at Hannah's house and they're like, hey, we're rangers. We're here to help you find your brother. And she's like, okay. Come on in.
Thanks.
She's like, yeah, we're really close. It's just me, my brother, and my little brother who is there, and she's feeding like cereal. Great.
He's not that young, great. But yeah.
He's
like
16.
Yeah.
And she's like 20. So she's like, well, I actually hired a guy, and I'm going tomorrow into the woods, and y'all can come with me. And so they're like, awesome, let's do that. So the next day they go, and the ranger that they'd hired, or not ranger, the hunter expertise,
yeah, some
tracker, that's a good word. He's like, you guys aren't rangers. And they're like, yeah, we are.
No, I think they just give up the ghost. They're like, yeah, you're right.
You're not rangers, so who the hell are you?
Sam and I are brothers, and we're looking for our father.
Like, nope, we're not.
And they're like, well, we're all going in the woods together because something like this happened to our dad, we think, and we want to track it down. So they're in the woods and they come across the campsite, which of course is torn to shreds and there's blood everywhere. And then...
And everybody keeps saying it's like, oh, it must be a grizzly attack.
Mm-hmm.
There are no grizzly bears that have been found in Colorado in many, many decades.
Yeah.
If anything, it would be a black bear. But regardless, they think it's an animal attack. You know, tents are tattered. There's blood.
Yeah. So they're like, we'll hunt it down. And I think Q, nighttime? I think it like happens really fast. And yeah, it's like nighttime now. And they're just like at the campsite. And
well, I think at this point, does it mimic the voice?
Oh, yeah, it does. So they it mimics the voice of the brother screaming. And so they run after it. And they're like, oh, like, I'm pretty sure that's a Wendigo, as they say, or Wendigo, or Wendigo, whatever. I'm saying Wendigo.
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 And they're like, okay, this is like some serious stuff. We need to put Aztec ritual signs around
and
our place.
Anasazi.
Anasazi symbols.
But
you know, sorry. I'm stuck on the Aztec mummy.
That was an Incan mummy. Nothing to do with the Aztecs. But they want to like do a protective circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tracker, like, shoots at it because they're, like, seeing, like, it's rustling. It's really fast.
Yeah,
and
so they,
like,
they essentially make this circle around them with these protective symbols, runes. And so they're protected, and the Wendigo shows up and is, like, can't get in, is rustling around. So the tracker, being dumb, is like, I'm going to shoot it. And he shoots at it, and then he's like, I'm going to go after it.
No,
and
he thinks he got a piece of it. Like, he thinks he hit him. So he's like, I'm going to, you know, finish it off.
Yeah. And so he leaves the circle, and they're like, no, wait, don't stop. Come back.
Oh, no, Mr. Tracker Man, who's been a jerk.
And so he goes out, and automatically the Wendigo grabs his head and does a little twist.
But it, like, yeah, it definitely seems like he, like, cracks his neck and probably, like, would have, like, ripped it off.
Yeah.
But then, like, later they, like, find him, and he's just kind of like, bleh. But it's like, you, dude, your head would be, like, in a different position.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then that's when they're like, oh, a Wendigo's dangerous at day, but it's even more dangerous at night.
Yeah.
And then you have that setup of like, oh, no, dun-dun-dun.
So they eventually come across the cave where the brother and other victims are being held. Oh, no. Dean and the sister get caught.
But that's because they're following, like, the bloody scratches on the trees.
Yes.
And Sam's like, this seems like it's a setup.
A
yeah, like, the Wendigo's clearly leading them. And then, yeah, like, then they're, like, running away. And then Dean and... I looked it up. It's not Hannah.
You must be Haley Collins.
It's Haley.
Oh, I was close.
It was an H.
I was close. Okay, so Haley and Dean.
I want you
Dean
to keep calling her Hannah, personally.
Get stuck in the cave because the Wendigo captures them, puts them in the cave with the brother. And essentially what the Wendigo is, as Sam explains it to the little brother, is it was a human at one point, and essentially to become immortal, they eat human flesh, and they have to keep consuming it over the years. Like, that's what they are hungry for now.
Which there's, and then I'll tell you right now, this is not based on any lore. There's this, like, random thread where, like, every 23 years this thing emerges and feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make, I don't understand that at all. Like, I don't know where they got the number 23. That's not in any lore, nor does that make sense. Like, how could, I mean, I know these are supernatural creatures, but that's just kind of really weird. It was like, oh yeah, it just eats a couple people every 23 years and it's fine for a while.
Same. So,
oh dear.
Yeah. So essentially, you have to consume human flesh to gain these immortal powers, and then it also, like, makes you disfigured and giant and have immortal strength. And it's creepy long tentacle, not tentacles,
it's just like
talons.
Long fingers.
Yeah, just long fingers. Anyway, so Sam and Haley's little brother, I want to say Hannah, goes to the cave, and they're like, Dean, oh my god, Haley, oh my god, Haley's brother, oh my god. Anyway, so they cut them down, and the Wendigo is like, hey, I'm here, and starts creeping in. They're like, oh, crap, what do we do? By the way, the brother is like, has chunks of him, like, missing because the Wendigo's been feasting on him. Like,
I'll
take some flesh here, I'll take some flesh there. And then Dean and Haley have some injuries too, but not, like, crazy. They're pretty all right.
They just got captured.
Yeah.
He hasn't had time to
munch,
have a little snack.
So they're like, okay, we have to get out of here, but the Wendigo's here with us, so what do we do?
Which I want to mention that they keep bringing up that, like, how fast this thing is. Like, this thing is, like, running around like crazy, and it's darting through the bushes, and you're like, oh, you can't even shoot this thing. You can't even see it. It's so fast.
I'm fast as fuck, boy.
I don't think you have any idea how fast I really am. I'm fast as fuck, boy.
And then all of a sudden, they've rescued the brother, not the younger brother, the one that was camping, and he's limping. He has to, like, hold on to...
So slow.
Yeah, like...
And so...
And then this confined
Dean
cave.
Dean sacrifices himself, right?
Yeah, but, like, they're, like, kind of, like, slowly limping away from this thing that is, like, super speed fast. But all of a sudden, like, every horror icon just decides, like, nah, I'm gonna go slow now.
Yeah, they're, like, literally limping along, and the Wendigo's like, I'm gonna get you.
Be like, I'm right behind you.
Yeah, but, like, not very fast at all. then Dean's off somewhere else because he was trying to distract it so they could get out. And so, unfortunately, they get cornered. There's no hope. They're going to be eaten by this Wendigo. And Dean shows up.
Oh, we forgot to set up how you take out a Wendigo.
I'm about to tell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
well, they set it up earlier in the episode.
Okay, yeah. Something about fire flares. It's
yeah, they're like, bullets aren't going to harm it. Like, we gotta burn it.
Gotta burn it.
We gotta torch the sucker.
Burn, baby, burn. So Dean's like, hey, Wendigo. And then he shoots him with a fire flare and he bursts into flames and dies.
Yeah, it's a really anticlimactic.
And
he's just like, bam, boom. And then they go to the Rangers and the Rangers like are just kind of
And they all lie and they're like, yeah, man, it was totally a grizzly bear that we saw.
Okay, that's no grizzly.
The thing was huge. And that's where the story ends.
Yeah. So, in your review, how many spirits would you rate this episode?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
I think in context to Supernatural, I think six is pretty fair. I think there's definitely much better episodes.
Oh, for sure.
You could tell that they were still trying to get their footing. I don't think it's particularly strong. I think you get, you know, they still have very good chemistry with Sam and Dean. I think that's a through line throughout whole series. And that's really where I think the series had a lot of strength and that never faltered. Like, they never needed to build that chemistry. Whereas, like, some shows, like, you can tell, like, they're like, who's that? But, like, from the get-go, like, they have a very strong dynamic. So,
Sammy!
So, we both took a test.
Yes.
And we refused to tell, I did not agree to this, but Heidi refused to tell me what her results are because I was like, all right, well, now that I took it, like, now I want to know what you got. But so we don't know each other's results. So
we took a test to see which Supernatural character we are most like.
And I don't know what the range was because really, I think we were looking for a test like, are you Sam or are you Dean? And I don't even know who else was included in this. So I'm on the edge of my seat.
You
who
need
did
to
you
go
get?
First because I forgot.
You forgot?
Okay, I remembered.
Okay. Okay.
You go first.
I got Dean.
I got Sam.
Oh, that's fun. Which I do not think I'm very, I think there are moments.
Yeah, you're moody.
I think there are moments when I'm like
and
Dean.
And I'm like a puppy, but, like Sam.
Oh, so we are Sam and Dean. So
brothers.
look for that test. Let us know who you got. We need a Castiel, I think. You know, yes. We need a.
And a Wendigo.
Nope, we don't.
I want to know who the Wendigo is.
Yeah, I thought this episode was okay. Yeah. I expected more of a Scooby-Doo end because they
where
set
they take
up
a mask off
no,
of
no, no,
a man.
No. They set up early that like 23 years ago, there was this now older gentleman who was in this cabin.
Oh, right. Like he saw his parents get murdered by a Wendigo.
Yeah. And like he has this like massive scar. So I thought it was going to be like Scooby-Doo where it's like, oh, you set it up and actually that old man was the Wendigo.
But he would have to like transform then.
Well, that's what I thought they were going to do that. I hadn't seen this episode in a while. So I was like, oh, I bet you that guy, he's the Wendigo. And that was going to be like the big reveal. Like, I don't know. They like flare him and then he turns in the old man. He's
yeah,
like,
he
oh,
didn't matter.
Yeah. He was just kind of like.
Side comment. It's,
well, it the story element was to prove that it's not a grizzly bear.
Okay. That's no grizzly.
Yeah.
That they investigated this guy and he's like, there's no way that door was locked and the bear couldn't open a door.
Because it doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Like
you know,
it would. I mean, but even if it was locked, I don't understand how the Wendigo was getting in.
He just turned the handle.
With his long fingers.
Yeah, he's super strong.
Okay, fine. All right, we're going to move on to Behind the Screams. Go ahead. Okay, not going to do it. All right, so this episode was directed by our favorite David Nutter.
Nutter,
if you've
buddy.
Been listening along to our other episodes, we did the pilot episode. David Nutter was the director for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
He's also done many, many other. He's very well known and does a lot of success with pilot episodes. So if you check out our second episode, you can hear all the long lists. I'm not going to go through them again, but David Nutter is once again the director. The teleplay was by creator Eric Kripke. So I think he wrote the pilot. That's usually the case with the showrunners and creators. But he wrote the teleplay. The story was by Ron Miebauer and Terry Hughes Burton, who actually, and this is a fun fact for you.
Related to Timmy
no,
Burton?
Oh. Not to my knowledge. but they were both consulting producers for Witches of EastEnd.
Ooh, great show.
No.
We'll have to do an episode on that.
No.
Oh, yes. We'll have to do it on, like, anyway.
More fun facts. So Ben Collins, which was the character, the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No, but the whole time, you remember, I was like, he looks familiar to me.
That is Alan Ehrenreich, who plays Han Solo in Solo. This was this was his first role.
He's way too ugly to play Han Solo. He gets better at, like, looking as he grows up, but still, no.
I didn't even recognize him.
You were so right. I was looking and I was like, he looks like he's got a bitch face. Like, he looks familiar.
Oh my goodness. We got to keep this PG.
Sorry, kids.
Bleep that out. So yeah, I thought I will have to go back and, like, look at him, because I didn't even recognize him. And normally I can, like, recognize faces. Well, you're better with faces, but I didn't even recognize the kid. This takes place in Blackwater Ridge, Lost Creek, Colorado. Lost Creek, Colorado is actually real, but Black Creek Ridge does not exist. So if you are looking to hunt some Wendigos, A, if you follow the coordinates, you're going to be in Arizona, and B, you're not going to find Blackwater Ridge. Other fun facts is Tommy is, as I noted when we were watching it, he's reading Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces. If you're familiar with Star Wars, you've probably heard the name Joseph Campbell. That book is what theorizes the monomyth, which is the hero's journey. So that had a huge impact on Star Wars and many others. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit. I guess you could say that they're on the hero's journey, but it's a very, very long 15-season journey.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to our next segment, my favorite segment, called
The Truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
I thought the first segment was your favorite segment.
No, I like this one because then we get to, like, go, like, and talk about, like, the real Wendigo.
I thought I was your favorite.
You are my favorite, definitely. You're my Sam.
Sammy!
All right, so there's a lot of, I would say, discrepancy between the Wendigo that is portrayed in Supernatural and the actual folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain where I think some of that changes throughout time, mm-hmm. and why they probably portrayed the Wendigo the way they did. But the Wendigo is a mythical creature. It is usually actually an evil spirit, which originates from folklore of the Indigenous people of the First Nations. The First Nations are groups of Canadian Indigenous people who are distinct from the Inuit and the Métis. So they're all kind of throughout Canada, but not so much in the far north with the Inuits. And I'm not familiar too much with the Métis, but that is kind of where a lot of these folklore come from.
And you should do a Google search on what they look like. They are creepy.
Well, I'm going to tell you what they look like according to the folklore.
Okay.
So stories of the Wendigo have been told around the East Coast forests of Canada, the Great Plains region of the United States, and the Great Lakes region of U.S. and Canada. Specifically, they're part of the belief system of several Algonquin-speaking people. So they do note in the episode that a Wendigo being as far out as Colorado is very unusual. I think they note that normally they'd be in Minnesota, which is pretty true.
Minnesota.
Wendigos are in the Minnesota woods or northern Michigan. I've never even heard of one this far west.
But definitely not in Arizona. When they use the Anasazi symbols, that is in the southwest. So those are ancestral Pueblo people.
Actually studied the Anasazi people.
Yeah.
So in Arizona.
There is no reason that those symbols would affect a Wendigo.
It just goes with the coordinates.
I don't know why they're stuck on Arizona, but that is completely nonsense. I'm not sure why they couldn't just be like, oh, these are Algonquin.
These are my runes. Whoever cast them, you can't do magic in the circle.
Yeah, so that doesn't make any sense, but often said to be a malevolent spirit with human-like characteristics that can possess human beings. So those possessed have feelings of insatiable hunger and greed, the desire to cannibalize, and the propensity for murder.
I brought you murder.
Judas. The indigenous describe them very differently from modern portrayals, and this is what I wanted to get into. So to the people of the First Nations, they were actually gigantic humanoids. Whenever a Wendigo ate another person, it would actually grow in proportion to the meal it had just eaten, so it could never be full. So pretty terrifying.
That sucks.
Well,
you
I mean,
can never be full.
they're kind of beings of perpetual hunger and starvation.
It's what pregnancy feels like.
Oh my god. And you get you get exponentially bigger.
Yes, literally.
They had a heart of ice and a foul stench that would come in before their arrival, and there would also be a sudden chill. So when I heard that, it kind of made me think of, like, if they're a malevolent spirit, kind of like in, like, The Sixth Sense or, like, modern portrayals when, like, a chill will happen.
Yeah, like a cold spot.
Yeah. So I was like, that's interesting.
That's pretty common.
I know, but I thought that was interesting that this goes back to, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of indigenous people folklore.
Maybe because it's factual.
It could be.
It's the truth.
They are strongly associated with winter, the north, coldness, famine, and starvation. And when I read that, I was like, so they're White Walkers?
Yeah, literally, I was like, the king in the north!
I think there's definitely a lot of similarities between that, especially as I go on with this description. So this description was given by Basil H. Johnston, who is
Basil, you English!
Who is an Ojibwe teacher from Ontario, or he was at least. I believe he's passed away.
Is it Basil or
Basil? It's spelled like Basil, the seasoning.
Okay.
Maybe it's pronounced like Basil.
Basil.
But clearly, you know, between Wendigo and Wendigo, maybe I'll get some credit for that. So this is the description that he gave. The Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation, its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones.
Yeah.
With its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into its sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton. So again, kind of like a White Walker, recently disinterred from the grave.
Hmm.
What lips it had were tattered and bloody, unclean and suffering some from suppuration of the flesh.
So it's a zombie.
The Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. So one of the things that they mention in Supernatural is, like, it can mimic a human voice.
The way it can mimic a human voice.
And I was like, I wonder if that's true at all. And it turns out they don't even they don't really lose human powers of cognition or speech. And in some depictions, they clearly communicate with its prospective victims and even threaten or taunt them.
Hey, I want to eat you.
I mean, well, it doesn't need to mimic a human voice because it doesn't lose that ability to speak like a human.
Yeah.
So
it's a zombie.
I mean, it's not a zombie because it is a spirit that possesses someone.
Hmm.
It has an appearance, I would say, more like a White Walker or like a, you know, kind of zombie-esque, but not explicitly undead.
Everything I've seen has, like, giant horns, or it's, like, more animalistic.
We will get to that.
Okay.
So I wanted to tell this interesting little story of a Wendigo by an Indigenous person. So one time long ago, a big Wendigo stole an Indian boy, and I apologize for using the term Indian. That's not my preference, but this is how the story goes. So, but the boy was too thin, so the Wendigo didn't eat him up right away, but traveled with the Indian boy, waiting for him until he'd get fat. The Wendigo had a knife, and he'd cut the boy on the hand to see if he was fat enough to eat, but the boy didn't get fat. They traveled too much. One day, they went to an Indian village, and the Wendigo sent the boy there to get some things for him to eat. He just gave the boy so much time to get there and back. The boy told the Indians that the Wendigo was near them and showed them his hand where the Wendigo had cut him to see if he was fat enough to eat. They heard the Wendigo calling the boy. He said to the boy, "Hurry up, don't tell lies to those Indians." All these Indians went to where the Wendigo was and cut off his legs. They went back again to see if he was dead. He wasn't dead. He was eating the juice, or marrow, from the inside of its bones where they had cut off.
His own?
Yes. So not only do they cannibalize, they also auto-cannibalize. Yeah, that's why they're like such...
I don't
think
that's a very... Okay.
Yeah, well, the Indians asked the Wendigo if there was any fat on them. He said, "You bet there is. I have eaten lots of Indians. No wonder they are fat." The Indians then killed him and cut him into pieces. Thus ends the giant Wendigo.
I was like, and then they ate him.
No. So, yeah, they're very much like... True to what Sam said is how you become a Wendigo is you know, usually you would cannibalize someone.
How's a man turn into one of those things?
Well, it's always the same. During some harsh winter, a guy finds himself starving, cut off from supplies or help.
becomes a cannibal to survive, eating other members of his tribe or camp.
What they describe in modern times is Wendigo psychosis. So that's kind of the modern explanation, I would say, of these individuals, that they go through this psychosis. They have this sudden urge to, like, eat people and just become violent and insatiated. So where it changes is more into modern times when you had European settlers. So in 1661, according to the Jesuit Relations, they reported, quote, "What caused us greater concern was the news that met us upon entering the lake, namely the man deputated by our conductor for the purpose of summoning the nations to the North Sea and assigning them a rendezvous where they would await our coming. They had met their death the previous winter in a very strange manner. Those poor men, according to the report given us, were seized with an ailment unknown to us, but not very unusual among the people we were seeking." So again, the Wendigo psychosis, but kind of maybe, a little bit past understanding of it. "They are afflicted with neither lunacy, hypochondria, nor frenzy, but have a combination of all these species of disease, which affects their imagination and causes them more than canine hunger. This makes them so ravenous for human flesh that they pounce upon women, children, and even upon men like veritable werewolves, and devour them voraciously without being able to appease or glut their appetite, ever seeking fresh prey, and more greedily the more they eat. This ailment attacked our deputies, and as death is the sole remedy among these simple people for checking acts of murder, they were slain in order to stay the course of their madness." You started to get this idea of werewolves from Europe that would then be conflated with Wendigos, and they became more animalistic and less zombie-like, as you describe them. Mm-hmm. And then they started to have, you know, as you see in the show, it's kind of werewolf-esque, you know.
It's like this weird gremlin-y thing. Not like a gremlin. Never mind.
Got like pointy ears.
It's just tall and lanky.
This less than human thing.
Yeah. And my understanding was more of the animalistic werewolf, like I thought it was in the werewolf family. But clearly that's a little bit more of a modern interpretation and not necessarily from the lore of the indigenous people. So the question is, how does one become a Wendigo? In some traditions, humans overpowered by greed can turn into Wendigos. The myth thus served as a method of encouraging cooperation and moderation. Other sources say Wendigos were created when a human resorted to cannibalism to survive. Humans could also turn into Wendigos by being in contact with them for too long. So good thing that young boy got away, because he probably would have turned into a Wendigo.
And then they would have eaten each other.
Auto-cannibalization. So the last question is, how do you get rid of them?
Guns are useless, so are knives.
Obviously in the show, you could burn
Aztec
them.
Runes.
Aztec runes. Keep them away. Although there are many recorded cases of Wendigo psychosis, the individual has to be killed to prevent cannibalism from resulting. So some Cree folklore recommends the treatment of ingestion of fatty animal meats or drinking animal grease. Thus, those treated may sometimes vomit ice as part of the curing process. So it was either just kill them, because there's no going back, or we're going to feed you a bunch of fat. Here's some lard. You might vomit ice.
You might vomit ice. It's very painful.
I just imagined like an ice machine. Just like beep, beep, beep.
Gross. Just keep it as an ice machine.
Yeah, so definitely interesting creature. I guess we'll move on to I Want to Believe.
Now I'm a believer.
First question is, do you believe in Wendigos as some sort of supernatural or cryptozoological creature?
No.
Okay. Not even going to try.
No, I really don't think so.
Do you think there could be some sort of like demonic or ghostly possession, or it's just straight up psychosis? Do you think it could be a classification of a malevolent spirit like the indigenous people believed?
So mental health and demon possession often seem to go hand in hand. And so it's very difficult to determine for me, because I believe in both.
Yeah.
So it's very I don't know. It's very difficult. I think, I'm sure, like, you know, I've said before with Mothman, I'm sure there are creatures out there that we don't know about. I'm sure there's something super creepy and lanky that's eating people. Sure. Do I think it's a human that has evolved into this thing? Probably not. Do I think people can eat people? Absolutely. But yeah, I don't necessarily believe in a Wendigo.
I think, and there are reports where it gets weird, is there are supposed the Wendigos that have, without need. So it's one thing when you're talking about like the Donner Party, which they mention in Supernatural, mm-hmm. where you're like, you are stuck in the middle of the wilderness. There is no other option but cannibalization to survive. That's a different setting. But then there are reports of Wendigo individuals who are like, they were like pretty close to food and still chose to murder their family and eat them. And that's where I find it not so easy to write off. Like, these are just stories about people who have been driven to desperation and therefore have cannibalized.
No. I think people can just go crazy and eat people.
But do you think that they just snap for no reason, or there is some sort of spirit that might be driving that change?
I don't know.
I could believe it. I think there's a lot of spirit types out there. I think there are some that maybe for ill or for their own sick, twisted way, you know, drive people to do weird things.
Jeffrey Dahmer's spirit just going around possessing people.
Maybe. So I could believe that there is possibly a malevolent spirit that has the explicit purpose of wanting chaos, cannibalization, and murder. I don't personally think that it's a physical creature. I certainly don't think that, you know, up in the woods of Canada, there is, you know, this gaunt skeleton giant walking around. I don't. That's just me. Do you believe that there could be a giant walking around?
Sure. I mean, Bigfoot.
That's not what we're talking about. I don't think Bigfoot's a Wendigo.
I'm just saying, like, different creatures. Like,
okay.
Sure.
The woods
are big.
I side more on the side of, it could be a malevolent spirit. It could be just a psychosis, kind of like lycanthropy is, you know, in modern times, like anyone that's like, oh, I'm a werewolf. I think there's probably something comparable to like people who are, quote, vampires. And they're like, I like drinking blood because I'm a vampire.
Leave us alone.
You don't drink blood.
I know. I just wish I was a vampire.
But Wendigo psychosis is a big debate among like the psychological community because it is kind of more of a cultural specific syndrome, if you will. Like, it's not
interesting.
It's not in
it's not like Asian people do this, white people do this, Native American people are only the people doing this. Like,
it's,
is that what you're getting at?
No, it's not like recognized by like mental health standards. So as opposed to like, you know, like bipolar depression disorder.
Oh, they're not like, recognized... oh, you have Wendigo depression.
They're Wendigo psychosis. Yeah, it's not recognized, but culturally in these indigenous people of the First Nations,
it's more common.
It is accepted, I would say. I'm not going to say it's common, but like...
Oh, they're just like, oh yeah, just Jim has Wendigo psychosis. That's fine.
No, like, okay, so let's talk about like, you know, like Western world. Like, I don't know in Asian culture if it's as, you know, accepted to believe in ghosts that we traditionally think of. Like, they do have spirits and ghosts, but it's not like how we think of them. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a cultural, like...
Interesting.
Yeah. He probably has Wendigo psychosis.
It's fine.
No, it's not fine.
Well, just when you say that, it sounds like you're like, yeah, they just excuse it.
It's
like,
no,
yeah,
it's just more accepted in their culture as that's a believable explanation. Whereas, like, we're going back and forth going like,
science.
Could this be a thing? Could it not be? They probably be more like, yeah, no, we believe in it.
Cool.
So... I think that's possible. I think it's interesting. I think it's more of a spirit, personally. So let us know your thoughts. We're always curious. Let us know if you want to do more Supernatural. I like Supernatural because I think they have a big range of monsters they encountered and some more obscure. Like, I think Wendigo is not like super obscure, but it kind of toes that line of being less popular than something else.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you want to do witches.
Witches, witches, dream a dream.
That is not how that song goes. So let us know if there's something that interests you, let us know. If you believe in Wendigos and how you think they come about or how you think they manifest, and we will catch you guys hopefully, I think, next week. We might try and do this weekly or with a little bit more. We might try and release these more often. Let us know. Let us know what you're interested in. And goodbye for now.
Wow.
Wendigo.